So the title of the message tonight is pretty simple. It's, what are you asking? What are you asking? Because my thought initially was, the answer is always no unless you ask, right? The answer is always no unless you ask. So if I ask someone, hey, would you want to play ball with me? They could say yes or they could say no. But if I never asked them, they never would answer, right? Because I never would ask them. So we find that the question is, the title of the message is, what are you asking? So we think about a large percentage of new visitors at church service were invited here. This morning there was several I saw, and more than likely someone went along the line, someone's asked them to be here. Last week there was about five or six new people. I'd seen them a long time ago here, and I was talking to them. My son and daughter were leaving after Sunday school last Sunday morning. We always go to my grandfather's house, and we have to turn his Wi-Fi on for him every service. And we stopped, and we were talking to them, and they said, yes, someone invited us to come today, and we're waiting on them to get here. I thought that was pretty awesome. And that's the way it worked out. It was really good. But very few step up and volunteer unless someone asks them. So that's why we have a sign-up sheet every year for the camp meeting for the workers, so people are asked to work. If they just opened it up on Sunday morning and whoever wanted to work showed up, there may not be anyone there, right? So they have to ask, have to be prepared. So sometimes that is for the best, that we are kind of have a heads up. But many times it all starts with a simple question. Would you like to sing? Would you like to go visit? You guys did a great job visiting last night. Amen. Would you like to go to church with me? Would you like to give your heart to God? These are all good questions. Would you like to pray? Would you like to sit with me at church tonight? Would you like to go to dinner with me? Right? Leads up to, would you like to marry me? So all these things, it ain't going to work like that. But it all has to have a question, right? It all has to kind of a progression. You can't ask someone to get saved for salvation, perhaps, unless they see something ahead of time, right? They got to work and maybe to church, or would you like to be my friend? Would you like to eat lunch with me at work? Would you like to sit with me at school? And then they like become a relationship. And they say, like, hey, there's something about him or her that's different than other students. And it maybe will lead them to the Lord. But it has to start somewhere with a simple question of, what are you asking? So you think about that maybe this week as we continue on to talk. People usually don't just, I would say, like decide, hey, I want to get saved tonight. If the Lord may be dealing with them. But unless someone maybe asks them to go to church with them, go to youth meeting, go to revival, something's got to stimulate. Someone else has got to kind of do some work, groundwork. We think about God asking Moses to lead. There was nothing in Moses' mind thinking about leading the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. He's off in another country or another area. I think he was a shepherd at the time. So yeah, please be a shepherd. He was off somewhere else. It was not on his mind anywhere. Jesus asked the disciples to follow him, right? Think about them. Many of them were doing other things. They were not thinking one bit about, hey, I think I want to quit my job and go follow someone around. So Jesus had to ask them. Pastor had to ask evangelists to come speak. He probably had to call up, would you like to come here like in the last week in January? We're going to have a revival. Would you like to talk to the Lord about it? See if your schedule works out? And that's the way someone has to communicate that. A friend asked me if I would like to receive Christ as my Savior. And I said no. I knew the Lord was dealing with me. And he knew it. And he asked me again then later on. And I did. I accepted the Lord as my Savior. Same way with a Sunday school superintendent asking me a long time ago, would you like to be a teacher? Give some time to think about it, pray about it. He asked me. The youth leader asked me if I would like to speak tonight. It all works up to that. That's how I'm here. I didn't go to him. I actually had some thoughts earlier that morning when he messaged me. I'm like, oh, that's why I had them thoughts. What does God ask you to do? Think about that. What does God ask you to do? What have you asked others to do? Some of you perhaps have asked someone to spend the night with you, play a game with you, go somewhere for a ride. You can think about the millions of things that you've asked other people to do. What have you asked someone to do that maybe put them out a little bit, right? I know I saw the gentleman over here, Brother Ashton, he used to sing a little bit at church out front. And I guarantee you, someone asked him to join them. Someone, it wasn't a volunteer, but someone asked him. And when he did, it was awesome. I know there's several in here of you that sing. And sometimes someone has to prod someone else, right? You have to ask them to join them. Rejection is tough, right? Sometimes people ask you, hey, would you like to do this? Nope. We don't like that. But you ask again, and often the times the answer is no. But you're looking for that positive confirmation. Hey, would you like to go with me? I'm going to revival in another state. No, I can't go. My mom said no. Maybe you ask someone else. No, I can't make it. I got to work that night. So you ask someone else. Yeah, I could go with you. That'd be great. So you don't just stop at the first person like, well, no one wanted to go. You move on, right? You progress. So yesterday I had a robot friend. He called me. I don't know if you guys have heard of Jonathan, but he's very persistent. He calls. He's, hey, I'm from the Highway Patrol, and I'm looking for donations. And says, are you still there? This is Jonathan. And if you make a response, and he'll respond back. It's a robocall. I'm sure most of you have enjoyed them or not. But I kind of spent a couple minutes there talking back and forth to a robot. I was making breakfast. And he was very persistent. You know, what about 15? I mean, that's the lowest we got. You know, I know you can't make the $20 commitment. I mean, we could get you in at the $15 commitment we'll go ahead and send a letter. That would be okay. And he's waiting for you to confirm. And guess what? I've got hundreds of calls from Jonathan over my lifetime, right? He calls every couple months. They're always doing a fundraiser drive. I think it's just they push play and it just goes out. But my grandfather, he's now passed away, he used to always donate to them. I don't know if you guys know anyone who does, but he always did, because he believed in the little sticker that they send along with your $20 donation that he would stick on the back of his car that guaranteed he would never get pulled over. I don't know. But he would always donate to them, and he always had stickers in the back of his car. And maybe someday I'll fall for it. My grandmother always donated to the Boys and Girls Club of, like, America. Yeah, she always did. And they had to ask, right? They always, like, send things in the mail to you, and it's got, like, a bunch of labels with stickers and your name on it, and you're trying to get you sympathy. They have to ask, right? They're not just going to get donations without asking. So they have to ask. Salespeople don't stop at the first no, unless they're quitters. Hey, would you be interested in buying a book of 32 encyclopedias? Well, no, but when I was younger and maybe the youth leader was younger, we had that. That was an option. You know, we didn't have the internet. Your parents perhaps would have bought them. And you would look at them, and that's how you got your information, right? Well, there still is door-to-door salesmen today. There's phone calls. There's website ads. You probably see my son, if he would watch like a YouTube video or something, there's like an ad that pops up for a furniture store out in Heath. I can't think of the name of it. Big Sandy. I mean, they must think that he wants furniture. I don't know. But it pops up every time. They don't quit doing it. There's emails, radio ads, internet ads, constantly asking or inviting you to purchase their item. And there's a billboard out here across from the church, and I talked to the realtor. He's got his name up there on it, and it's been there since it went up. The billboard went up, and I talked to him about it. He's like, yeah, people tell me all the time they see me, but I'm trying to wait for the person to call me because he's got his phone number up there. He's like, I just want these people to start calling me. So it must be working. He's paying $700 a month for an ad. So he's hoping that just asking people to call him is going to work. Think about Jesus. The few years that Jesus was actually teaching on earth, he befriended a lot of people. He reached out to other nationalities. If you guys remember, he was at the well. There was a lady that came up, and she was from a different group than he was. I can't remember exactly off the top of my head. I was talking about the story last night with my son, but she was a different nationality. He didn't stop at just family and friends. He didn't stop at cousins and brothers and sisters. He worked. He was friends with thousands. In fact, children, people who were lame, people who were sick, people who maybe were shunned by others, he invited them to share his message, to follow him, to follow the Lord. And we can read where in just those few, I think 3 years, 3.5 years that Jesus was actually teaching and preaching, that thousands were converted. Thousands got saved just in the few time, a few years that he was on earth. So what can we do to mirror Jesus? Not get 30 years old, I know that, but I'm talking about what can we do? We could be a friend, a genuine friend. Kind, show love, listen. It's really hard to find people that listen to your problems, situations. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize that your situation was going on. I heard we're passing a card around for someone who lost a brother. That's really traumatic. That's hard to deal with. Listen to them. Be available. Some of you are younger, perhaps don't like members of the opposite sex. Like when I was 12, I didn't like girls. Girls probably didn't like me, right? I wasn't mean to them, right? Because at one time, my wife was 12 and I was 12 or 13, and as we grew up, I was nice to her. I had no clue that later on we would get married. But if I had been mean to her as a little child, she would have, no way, he's a meanie, right? So you need to be nice to people, be genuine, be kind to them. It's a small world. We're not going to believe that years from now you're going to be at a job, you're going to be working somewhere, you're going to run into someone. Like, I remember you back when you were in junior high or middle school or elementary, like, yes, that's right. I moved away. Now they're your boss. They're going to remember stuff like that. Share what you have, right? Think about what do you have that others could benefit from? Maybe you're talking to all of you. You guys all have energy. So maybe you could share some of your energy. Not run around their car. Don't mean that. I mean, like, help them physically. You can't do something, maybe you could help them. Oh, there's a lady coming walking in the door. She's in a walker. I could walk over and open the door, right? Someone needs a ride to church. I realized that their van broke down. Maybe they could have me give them a lift. And be available. Reach to others who aren't in your circle. Sometimes you guys sit in the same row, sit by the same four people. You maybe invite a person to sit with you. Hey, would you like to sit with me tonight? Would you like to come to church and sit right down there? Just reach out to those who aren't in your little circle of friends. Guess what? They might join your circle and you might have a bigger circle now. I don't know. Right. Spend time with Jesus. Couples begin to resemble each other the more times that they spend together. As they get older, they look alike. It would look odd if me and my wife maybe were never together, and then all of a sudden we got married last week. We wouldn't look quite, but we'd make a good couple, right? So it was your mom and your dad, you think about it, they fit together perfectly. They like going to the same places and spending time doing the same things. Hopefully they like you. Both of them, right? Because same way with spending time with Jesus, you're going to start reflecting Christ. And they see you, they're going to say, man, he's been living that way. He's humming that song. My kids sing the church songs all the time. Because why? Because my wife and I play that music for them all the time, and they start to sing it. They come to youth service, they hear you guys sing it. When we leave, they sing the songs you guys sing, right? Because that's what we're feeding them, right? They spend time listening to that kind of music, and that's what they enjoy. The same, we'll be kind of like, I was talking about the likeness of Christ. We won't look like Jesus outwardly, but we'll act like his actions. Number five, give God praise and credit for all things. So like, man, I really appreciate you doing that for me. That was awesome. You did a great job. And you guys are good at this. What do you always say? Thank the Lord, right? If you play the piano and you sound really good and your trio does a great job and everyone really enjoys it, and someone says, that sounded really good, thank the Lord. Give the Lord a praise. Immediately, not like, oh yeah, hey, remember 2 weeks ago when you told me I did a good job singing? All right, it helped you. I want to thank the Lord for that. Huh? Right? Give the Lord a praise instantly. Right? Don't be afraid to, well, thank the Lord. Did a good job in your math test. You guys, you must have really studied hard. I did, but the Lord helped me. Right? Okay. So this is natural for some of you who are here to mirror Jesus. Some of you guys have been saved for a long time. Hopefully some of you, your parents have been living right and given a good example. So you guys have no problems. No problems at all mirroring Jesus. You know, for so many years, you've been saved for 5 years, you've been doing a great job. But for the majority of us, it's going to take changes in our lives continually moving up, measuring up. We hear a message, and this morning was a really good message about, it just left me, what was that? Wasted years. Yeah, and how quickly time goes by. Now, I know that most of you are younger and you don't, oh no, but you would not believe 10 years from now, you're going to be like, man, where did the last 10 years go? It just seemed like the other day I was in kindergarten, right? For your level. For me, it wasn't that long ago. I was in youth group myself. But this is, what a challenge from the message this morning. This is natural, but we want to think about moving up. Think about God, Jesus Christ. People often describe by their life, we think, well, he was an old fisherman, or he was an old gardener, or she was a helper. He was a builder. They're described by their actions. We think about someone who's an old drunkard. He was just an old bum. They're described by their actions. And think about Jesus. What was he? He was a helper. He was a leader. He had many to follow him. 2 Timothy 2:8. Real quick here, if you've got to get it before me, go ahead. And I lost it. Remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David, who is raised from the dead according to my gospel. Think about Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus, right? Think about Jesus. You are what you feed your mind on. Like I talked about my kids singing all the time. You guys are in a, when we come to camp meeting, we're here for 8 days, hopefully straight. You're here, you're feeding on the Word of God. Thinking about Jesus Christ constantly. You're thinking about that, you're feeding on that. If you listen to messages, if you're in revival, you're going to service every night, if you're reading your Bible day after day, you're thinking about the things of God. Number two, think about others. Show love to others. Philippians 2:4. I should have memorized these, but it was the last thing on my mind. It was memorizing them. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So think about other people. Show love to others. Be interested in the things of others. how does my parents see me? Or what does my parents see? They said, no, I can't go there. What are they thinking? And kind of like, well, step back and think about what their viewpoint. How do my coworkers see my actions? How do my classmates see what I'm seeing? Think about what other people are going through. Oh, wonder why he's acting that way. Why is he being so mean? Why is my parents acting like that? Why is my mom crying, right? Maybe she's going through something. Maybe there's been a problem. Be interested, I talked about that earlier. Think about my sick brother in the Lord. We prayed for him a few minutes ago. My personal family, they're going through a couple of situations, right? Most of you have visited my grandfather, which I really appreciate. He really needs a lot of help. But most of you guys have been very, very positive and uplifting. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Do they need me to share some love? Consider one another. Most of you guys do an excellent job, but just this is more reinforcing. Consider what other people are going through. I haven't really seen my dad at church much lately. Well, there's a reason, right? Most of you know that he's taking care of my mom. Well, that's the reason. But think about other people. Maybe you're like, wonder where they've been. Nah, they must have just quit coming to church. Well, no. There's a reason. Maybe you could reach out and say, hey, what's going on there? I haven't seen you. Like, oh, okay. I didn't realize you had to work for the next 24 straight Sundays. But that happens sometimes. You think about them. All right. Think about where you're going to be in 100 years. I will not be here in 100 years. Maybe a few of you, maybe some of you younger teens possibly could hang around for a little while, but more than likely we'll all be in eternity. Right? Colossians 3:2 says, set your affections on things above. If you start thinking about where you're going to be this summer, for maybe your parents are going to take you to Disneyland, I don't know. You're going to start thinking about that. You're going to make preparations. No, I can't go that week. I can't help. I can't play with you that week. I'm going to Disney World, Disneyland, whatever it is. I've never been to any of them. I'm going to Florida. Can't go. Can't hang out with you that week. Well, if you think about, hey, would you want to? No, I don't want to go there because I'm thinking about going to heaven. I don't think a person who's going to heaven would want to go to them places. Okay. Yeah. When the sports team start the season, the goal is to be the champion. Right? They want to go to the whatever bowl it is, the national championship. We're all from Ohio, so we know the Buckeyes. They all want to be the national champions. They want to be the hot top spot. Same way what it is about being a Christian. We all want to be at that top spot. We want to make sure we all get to the goal. We're all working there. You kind of forget about it sometimes. You're not like wake up and like, whoo, what if I'm going to go to heaven today? But we all are working towards that. Right? They know the Buckeyes know they're not going to get the national championship tomorrow. It's not going to come until the end of the season. But they have to work towards it. They have to take it a day at a time. Earthly things don't seem to be so important when you start thinking about eternal things. It's so hard for youth, you guys here today, to think, fully understand how close you are to eternity. Now, a few of you have been in a car accident. A few of you have been very sick. Maybe thought you were going to die. And that really kind of sobers you up for a little bit. Oh, man, I was really close. They hit me and I could have just swung over in traffic and hit head on. Or I had this illness and if it could have went another way, I could have died. Some of you maybe are allergic to peanuts or certain bugs and got bit or ate the wrong one and you got really sick. You're like, I can't breathe. It scares you. You think about things like that. Or maybe you've been underwater and you can't swim and someone's holding you down. You're like, whoa, I'm going to drown, right? So think about heavenly things. Eternity is just a step away from most of us. What are you asking others? That's kind of like what I want to summarize. The whole message was called, what are you asking others to do? Are you asking others to join you, to also be a Christian, maybe to go with you some places that you're going to go, hey, I want to go over and visit this person. I want to sing tonight. Would you like to join me? Would you like to sit with me? Would you like to come to camp meeting with me? And I want to challenge you to reach out. Maybe you've got a first thing person, maybe a little group of school. You don't really like go much further than that. Maybe there's a loner there. There's someone else that they're looking for a friend. I want you to ask others maybe to volunteer. Hey, I know you've never worked in the camp meeting at the church. We really need some more volunteers. Would you want to join me? Yeah, I would like that. Be a friend. Invite others. They're going to never say yes unless you ask them. So that's kind of what my thought tonight was. I kept it really short and simple, but hopefully something to encourage you, some thought. And we got some time. Does anybody have a thought of maybe someone's asked you to do something, maybe out of your comfort zone, or maybe you've asked someone else and they've responded? An example? I didn't come up with too many examples. I'll tell you one. Go ahead.
As organizers, after the fourth job, go to a party club with them and have fun. And I told them I love to go because I like dancing, but I'm not a couple of dancing around the alcohol and around people who actually just go out of control. And love to dance, but why don't you do it at home?
Yeah.
When you're alone.
Yep. And you're right. That's like totally opposite of what I was saying, but yeah, you're right. There is sometimes people ask you to do things that, no, I don't want to be a partaker of that, and that's very good.
Right.
So last night, those of you who were not there, Brother Sterlucky asked for those that would like to share a little bit. You guys had, nobody knows any of the people there at the nursing home, but many of you volunteered. Great testimony. You shared a little bit about yourself. You went out of your comfort zone. You volunteered. He had to ask you. Nobody just said, hey, I want to share something. He asked, and you guys responded. And I really appreciate it. My wife and I, we had been talking about maybe doing some of that because you don't know. These people really don't have a connection with us. They just see some people up there singing. But when you guys did that, I really felt like they could, hey, they're a person. They have a name. They have a, you know, a job. They go to school, whatever it was. Can't remember what some of you said, but there was a lot of you that did it, and I really appreciate that. That was awesome. All right. One of you went to Arizona last week. Did someone ask you? No. You just showed up?
They had plenty of warning,
right. You told them you were coming, right? And they were, oh, okay. And we're ready. Yep. Sometimes you do things like that, and I really appreciate it. All right. Sister Bree.
Very good.
Those were some very good thoughts from Brother Chris. The phrase that kept coming back to me during the whole entire message is, what would Jesus do? And it's not exactly the same concept, but it's still a very good question for us to ask before we ask somebody else something. So if you would all stand with me, please. And Brother Lucas, would you please dismiss us?